A lot of comics who rejected the old style of one-liners in favor of more personal material actually got started in the business by writing one-liners for older comics. Alan Zweibel started his comedy career writing jokes for comics who played the Borscht Belt, the resort hotels in New York's Catskill Mountains. Zweibel went on to write for Saturday Night Live and co-created and wrote It's Gary Shandling Show. On Saturday Night Live, he collaborated with Gilda Radner, co-creating some of the characters she became famous for, like Emily Latella and Roseanne Rosanna Dana. He later wrote a book and play about Radner called Bunny Bunny. Here's an excerpt from our 1989 interview.
Now, you used to write for comics. You wrote for Borscht Belt comics, the comics who played the cats.
I started that way. I started writing for men like Morty Gunty and mm-hmm. Freddie Roman and Dick Capri and Dick Lord and Vic Arnell, and it goes on and on and on. Thousands of Bernies, thousands of Mickeys, hundreds of Lees. And ultimately, I started off writing for $7 a joke. And this was right out of college, which was 1972. And to supplement this terrific living that I was making, I was also working in a delicatessen in Queens. And you name it, I sliced it for about 3 years. And what I used to do was sell jokes to these comedians and write down jokes on paper bags and then shove them in my pocket and sell it to them.
What was the first joke that you sold?
You know something? One of the first jokes that I had ever written and no one paid me for was one of the first jokes that we did years later on Saturday Night Live, which was about a stamp, the post office coming out with a stamp commemorating prostitution in the United States. It was an 8-cent stamp. If you want to lick it, it's a quarter. And are you allowed to say that on this radio show? We did it on Saturday night. I mean, that just goes to show you how long ago that joke was written, because I don't believe they have 8-cent stamps anymore. And it was those kinds of lines that that the people I was writing for said, they're funny, but it's not for my audience. You know, these were by and large blue-haired ladies who went to resorts on the weekends and on major holidays.
So did you have to write mother-in-law jokes, honeymoon night jokes?
Oh, God, yeah. Don't touch me. I just had my hair done jokes, sending the kids to camp jokes, all the cliche kind of jokes. And it was incredibly frustrating. In its own way, it was like, well, it was great in a way. In one way, it was like writing for your father, But what was very, very interesting about it, and which was a great training ground, is what your ear got accustomed to was the way different people spoke. All right? See, what I used to do as a matter of self-discipline was I'd wake up on a Monday morning and I'd say, okay, this week we're going to talk about cars, right? So on Monday, I would write a monologue as if Woody Allen were to deliver it about buying a car. Tuesday, I would do it as if I'd write a monologue for Joan Rivers about buying a car. Wednesday, Rodney Dangerfield. Every single day, I'd take the same topic and try to put it in the mouths of other people just as a way of training myself.
Did you ever have to write jokes with Yiddish punchlines?
Oh, it's really amazing in that I used to write for a lot of the friars' roasts, where they used to roast somebody once or twice a year. And those, by and large, are stag. And what you can do is you can get laughs if you just say a couple of words and then throw in a dirty word. The shock value would get a laugh. And the same thing for a lot of these comedians. If I would just say, yesterday I bought a new chair, Rosh Hashanah, and they'd start laughing, the audience. I mean, just totally out of context. You know what I mean? If you just put in, like, the name of a Jewish holiday or a recipe, they would laugh.
What's an example of a way a comic really ruined one of your jokes?
Oh, that's a tough question. This isn't the perfect answer to it, but I think it sort of answers a question. Years and years later, after I had stopped writing for these stand-up comedians, I was now married. And we went up to the Concord Hotel for like a ski weekend. And we went with Al Franken, who used to be a co-writer with me on Saturday Night Live, he and his family. And we were up at the Concord and we went in to see the show. And on the bill was a man who I used to write for. And I'm sitting there and I recognized much of the material. Now, let's say this was 1986. I hadn't written for this man since 1973. Okay, so let's see, this is 13 years have gone by, and I'm recognizing the jokes as by and large the same. We went backstage afterwards to see him, or I met him in the bar afterwards, and we said hi to each other, and we got to talking, and he said, how do you like the show? And I said, terrific, really good. And he said, you see, I'm still doing your stuff. It's still holding up. I said, yeah, I'm flattered. He said, any suggestions? I said, well, one minor suggestion. You know the joke that you do about the Secretary of State? He said, yeah. I said, so I could be wrong, but as far as I'm concerned, you might get a better laugh if you took out Kissinger's name and put in George Shultz's.
And you're kidding.
No, this was 1986, and I had written in 1973 when Kissinger was, you know, and he'd never bothered taking out the old guy's name, and so he was doing it still in the present.
See, I find this incredibly depressing. I mean, are you depressed by that?
On one level, it's somewhat depressing. On another level, you're dealing with, in a few instances, with people who are sort of blissful and unaffected. And there's something nice about that, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not trying to wax romantic about it, but if somebody could be off by that much, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I'm not trying to be cruel. It's
right.
Like, God, my guess is that they sleep better than I do.
Alan Zweibel recorded in 1989. His book and play, Bunny Bunny, is about his relationship with Gilda Radner, who he collaborated with on Saturday Night Live. Well, more comics in the second half of our show. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.